Hello, seafood friends. You're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there from the team at Undercurrent, bringing you everything from the boats to the boardrooms, breaking down the news, spilling a little industry fish oil, and sharing the sharp market insights you need to know. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Casiglione. And we're getting crabby this week.
I'm always a little crabby.
Yes, yes you are. But I was talking about the news. Crab meat prices have skyrocketed.
We'll see. That would make me feel crabby even if I wasn't crabby.
So Undercurrent editorial director Cliff White reported this week that a severe crab meat shortage has jolted both wholesale and menu prices over the past year. U.S. wholesale prices on blue swimming crab have jumped 10% since the start of the year and are up more than $2 over just the past month, reaching $43.88 per pound in week 25 of 2026 for benchmark jumbo lump meat. As these things tend to go when prices spike, some restaurants have started removing crab options from their menus. But surprisingly, overall domestic food service demand for this item has not yet shown meaningful signs of weakening.
So Cliff talked to Bryce Phillips, the newly appointed CEO of Phillips Foods, which was yet another major headline this week, about the current state of the market, and he shared that many U.S. consumers are willing to pay up for their crab cakes. And get this, before the COVID pandemic, the ceiling on crab cake entrees was $40. Anything above that, Phillips said that customers refused to order them. But he said he recently visited a mid-range restaurant in Ocean City, Maryland, where crab cakes remain the most popular item on the menu, despite costing, get this, $55. Is that you, Lauren? Because that ain't me. I think I might even draw the line before $40, and I'm a big crab cake fan.
That ain't me. If that doesn't come with a nice, crisp cocktail, then no, that's not me.
So Cliff did some digging around, and he said the $55 charge for crab cake might be an extreme example. Undercurrent found other restaurants in Maryland and Virginia charging as little as $30 for the sandwich, albeit without the higher quality jumbo lump pieces. But regardless, restaurants are struggling to play along.
And they're getting squeezed from every direction. More than half of all crab meat consumed in the U.S. goes through restaurants and food service channels. So when wholesale prices jump, that's where the pressure shows up first. The shortage isn't coming out of nowhere either. There have been some major disruptions to supply this year.
That's right. The U.S. has already lost supply from Venezuela after imports were blocked at the start of the year, and a ban on blue swimming crab imports from the Philippines took effect earlier this month. Together, those sources accounted for a pretty significant chunk of the market. And there's still the possibility of further supply issues if restrictions on imports from India move forward.
Exactly. So Bryce Phillips told Undercurrent that costs are up roughly 33%, and he doesn't expect relief anytime soon. In fact, he said buyers are largely accepting higher prices because nobody wants to be caught short on inventory.
Which led to my favorite quote in a story in quite a while.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
So Phillips summed up the market by saying, "It's a sandwich, and we all have to take a bite."
That's certainly one way to describe it.
Colorful, but memorable.
We've got a link to the full story in the show notes, so be sure to check it out.
Now, moving along, if we're talking about rising prices, we cannot ignore pollock. The U.S. Department of Agriculture finally released its long-awaited purchase award for Alaska pollock products on June 24th, about a month later than originally expected. And while the government didn't buy everything it initially asked for, one thing stood out immediately. USDA paid a lot more for pollock than it did a year ago. So Seattle-based Trident Seafoods secured a contract worth more than $6.4 million for nearly 2 million pounds of Alaska pollock products that will be used in domestic food distribution programs. Now, if you've been following the pollock market recently, the pricing probably won't come as a huge surprise. The award documents show USDA paying between $3.60 and $3.86 per pound for frozen pollock fillets. Compare that to June of last year when Trident won a similar contract at roughly $2.40 to $2.44 per pound. That's more than a dollar per pound increase. And the same trend showed up in frozen sticks. This year, USDA paid between $3.06 and $3.27 per pound. Last June, those same products were selling into USDA contracts for roughly $2.12 to $2.26 per pound. And breaded sticks, Those also saw a significant jump. USDA paid $3.46 per pound in their latest solicitation, compared with a range topping out around $2.50 per pound during purchases late last year. And remember, bids were submitted back in mid-May, and USDA was originally expected to announce the winners by May 22nd. Instead, the process stretched into late June, but one source told Undercurrent while we were in that limbo period that USDA may have been trying to determine whether the higher pollock prices reflected genuine market conditions before moving forward. And based on what we're seeing in the wholesale market, those higher prices appear very real.
Oh, yes, they are. So one of the biggest market stories we saw this week was for our Alaska pollock blocks. And we had some bee season pricing finally confirmed. For the last several weeks, there was a lot of uncertainty. Buyers were hoping prices might come back down. Sellers were holding firm because they knew replacement costs were much higher. So this week, the market crossed that bridge. And now the question isn't whether bee season prices are going up anymore. It's how much of those higher costs buyers are willing to absorb, because the uplift from A season pricing to B season was pretty significant. So single frozen PBO blocks were up more than 36%, deep skin blocks climbed nearly 38%, and imported twice frozen blocks jumped more than 48%. So why is this happening? If you just look at Alaska's A season catch, volumes were down only about 4% from last year. At first glance, that doesn't really sound like a market that should be this tight. But then you dig into the production data and the story changes up a bit. So PBO fillet production was down about 17.5%. Surimi production was down about 12%. So it wasn't really the lack of fish that we're talking about. It's the fish that were caught. They were smaller. Yields were lower. And processors simply produced a lot fewer fillets than the market was expecting. That has left inventories tighter heading into bee season and pushed replacement costs up much higher. When you look at the global picture, it makes a lot more sense as well. Russian H&G values into China are still sitting near record levels. They've eased a little bit this week because buyers are waiting to see what happens with potential EU sanctions. But nobody we spoke with views that as a real weakening of the market. It's more of just a pause right now. And we should know more about those sanctions in the second week of July. The other interesting development this week came from USDA, as Amanda just mentioned, where we saw contracts awarded for nearly 2 million pounds of product, but almost 400,000 pounds of frozen bulk cartons received no bids at all. So it seems suppliers simply aren't eager to commit product if they don't know the pricing reflects current replacement costs. So we're in the early days of bee season. Everyone is watching production very closely. The big question is whether fish size improves, if yields remain disappointing. I think the market stays firm because there's just not much evidence yet that replacement costs are going to ease anytime soon, but we'll be on it. So stick with Undercurrent.
Thanks, Lauren. Now, before we go, as promised, we've got more World Cup talk. As we briefly touched on last week, the Norwegian Seafood Council has built a campaign around football slash soccer striker, wherever you are, Erling Braut Haaland, and the slogan, Eat Your Best, Be Your Best with Salmon from Norway, which combines digital advertising, social media, outdoor displays, and experiential marketing activities timed around Norway's return to the World Cup for the first time in 28 years. Now, Haaland, one of the world's most recognizable soccer players, has been an ambassador for the Norwegian Seafood Council since 2024. The council recently renewed its agreement with them through fall 2028, and the timing has proven favorable. Haaland scored twice in Norway's opening World Cup match against Iraq on June 16th, helping the team to a 4-1 victory. Fans went wild with a horde of Norway supporters decked in red taking over Times Square ahead of the team's second match against Senegal on Monday to perform a Viking row. And have you ever seen them do this chant, Lauren?
Yes, and I love it.
Oh my gosh.
If I was there and not supporting Norway, I would have jumped in on the
chant. 100%. I am ready whenever they're ready to go again. And I embedded a video in the story just so everyone can see, because it does look like so much fun. But anyway, Norway also beat Senegal 3-2, with Haaland once again scoring two goals, generating additional attention for both the national team and the seafood promotion effort. In fact, the team's diet went viral, with outlets reporting how three chefs and more than 500 kilograms of Norwegian seafood, including salmon, trout, Arctic char, halibut, king crab, snow crab, were sent to the US to help fuel the players during the World Cup. But I think the real joke everyone was saying is like they didn't want to eat our fast food at all. All the stuff that the tourists are loving in the US. I don't know if you saw like the thing with the ranch go viral.
Yes.
I had no idea that ranch wasn't around in Europe or anywhere else.
I didn't know either.
Yeah. Anyway, I had the chance to speak with Norwegian Seafood Council US Director Carina Rod-Haraldsen about the campaign. Take a listen.
So the campaign, it's sitting around like eat your best, be your best, and choose salmon from Norway. That's kind of the slogan for the whole campaign. And we're trying to get paid media in a broader perspective. So we are doing a lot of paid campaign, like you using set TV, paid social media, digital or outdoor displays, and also for the main game here in New York City. We are having a billboard at Times Square with Haaland and showing seafood from Norway, that he's choosing salmon to be the best. But together with that, we're also trying to do it like a 360. So we are having cooperation with Cabin, that is where you know life for the consumer by combining football and Norwegian seafood in a social way. Is kind of setting, so you know you get a more experience of the Norwegian seafood together with watching soccer and being part of the whole experience, which is it is an experience when you are watching games together. And I mean, Americans, they love sport, so it's a perfect thing of doing. And there is a lot of Norwegians and Swedes and a lot of Europeans that has come to the US to watch it.
Full story on the Norwegian Seafood Council's World Cup plans can be found in the show notes. And actually, Lauren, I know I said this was our last thing, but I actually got one more thing because,
Okay, bring on.
that's me. So this new survey came out from this company called Talker Research. They worked with the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute on this. They found in a survey of 2,000 adults that more than half Americans say splurging on lavish premium meals is their go-to move for turning around a rough week.
Yes,
Yeah.
I'm in there too.
But then we just said, but we have a limit on our splurge. But I guess everybody has probably a limit on their splurge.
There's a limit, and it depends on what I went through that week. If it was a rough week, then yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm treating myself.
Yeah. Well, the survey found that of those who said that seafood is one of their go-to end-of-week meals, nearly half agree that it's one of the most satisfying kinds of foods. And I think that's just what I wanted to end the note on. We can all agree how satisfying seafood is.
Yes, we can.
All right. Well, I hope you had a great week. And if you didn't, you should still go out and splurge on some seafood, right?
There you go. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back here next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.